government regains the trust of its citizens is by telling the truth. There is no other way, no shortcut.
And I call upon our government to open up like the Belgians have, the French have, the Brazilians have, the Argentines, the Mexicans have all released their files. It's about time now that we do the same thing and become a part of this planetary community.
It is way past time for all of us to know what our own government knows, instead of being kept in the dark by a policy of denial.
The last time the Congress held a hearing addressing the extraterrestrial issue was 1968, 44 years of sightings ago. In those 4.5 decades, hundreds of thousands of new sightings have taken place. Government agency witnesses have come forward. Media coverage has expanded. Hundreds of documentaries have been produced, thousands of books have been written, and yet the United States Congress has remained silent. So for a period of 5 days, at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., 2 blocks from the White House, and 12 blocks from the Congress of the United States, we're going to conduct a citizen hearing on disclosure of an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. 40 to 50 witnesses of high rank and station, from military, from agencies, and possibly from intelligence services, along with the top researchers in the world, will give 30 hours of testimony to 5 former members of the United States Congress.
So maybe the citizens' hearing has a chance to try to leverage open some of the truth about the fact that we're not alone in this universe, that we might actually begin to look at what we really are, what the true history of this planet is, and that might be what gets us into a future without self-destruction.
The motto of the citizen hearing is, if Congress won't do its job, the people will.
Greetings, everybody. This is Beth. I'm so happy to be here with you today. I'd like to welcome you to Galactic Roundtable, the Countdown to Disclosure. And first, before I begin, I would like to say I'm very, very happy to be back on BBS Radio. Everyone knows it's the best radio, internet radio in the world. And I want to add that I've brought a friend with me today. His name is Hatem Gura, and he has an exciting new website that's opening, and I'd like to feature that on the program, and I'll share more with that in a few minutes. The next thing I'd like to do is invite you, if you'd like to call in with questions. I'll give you the number. Toll free is 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471. That's the United States and Canada. If you're on Skype, the ID number is BBS Radio 2. And to begin with today, I'd like to read an introduction of who I am for those of you who are new to Galactic Roundtable. You may begin anytime calling in. Thank you. Hello, I'd like to introduce myself. I've written a dozen books about the ancient astronauts. The focus of these is to show where it is written in ancient texts that we are a galactic society. Looking at the Ramayana, Tao Te Ching, the Book of Enoch, the Upanishads, the Pistis Sophia, the Maserath, the Masnavi, the Emerald Tablets, the Jatakas, Rabban's Pentateuch, and the Corpus Hermeticum, we may see how in every religion, every culture, and every aeon, going back millions of years, Earth was inhabited by our ancient galactic ancestors. I wrote these books to help our society as a collective to drop our insecurities. Knowing this truth makes us free from all bondage of life, free from death. Once this is understood, one will no longer identify with duality and all those conditionings which make you so unhappy. You have come to Earth from another planet or another dimension, the consciousness of which you have within. We have been visited by extraterrestrials for a very long time. 3 years ago, I gave up full-time work and a regular paycheck to dedicate my life to the truth and advocacy movement for disclosure. I wrote two other books, Lord Ashtar and the Galactic Federation, and Stargate Earth. There is an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. There are extraterrestrials here. The only thing we haven't resolved yet is the government telling us that. Disclosure ends the truth embargo on this matter. The last time there was a citizens' hearing on disclosure was 1968. The United States military, civilian agencies like NASA, intelligence like the CIA, and other governments have witnesses to contact, and it is time we self-disclose the truth. Some people have been deliberately holding back the information from the public. National security classifications and non-disclosure agreements have stood in the way. All the witnesses have made their own decision that this vital information will educate the whole to understand we are not alone. There is a lot in this universe we know nothing about. There are hundreds of billions of planets in our galaxy and hundreds of billions of galaxies in our universe with many potential Earths. The chances that we are the only life out there is zero. Self-disclosure means that within the social contract between government elected officials and the people of the country who they represent, that they carry out the laws of their country with transparency, acknowledging to the people the truth. When elected officials refuse to conduct matters of governance, reporting their activities to those they represent, chaos prevails. We can no longer accept hiding the truth. Without it, there is no freedom. This is more than an intellectual matter. This is a spiritual matter. 10 years ago, I became a walk-in. I was not born into this body. How it happens usually is through a severe accident or significant illness causing hospitalization. In my case, I had a massive head injury. During the 3 days I lay unconscious was a soul exchange. The one who left then was in a violent marriage, and had she not left, she would have been killed. These agreements are made far ahead between the souls involved and intention of the highest good for all involved. Within 8 weeks of walking in, I was divorced and alone raising three small children. I came in with my adaptabilities and memories. There are about 100 million walk-ins on Earth now who have come to be embodied souls with higher knowledge to help the galactic citizens of Earth reclaim their freedom, their sovereignty, from the few who wish to control them with lack of jobs, lack of housing, lack of money, starvation, and world war. It has been done. It has to be done by Earth citizens, and there are many angels, ascended masters, and galactics living as your neighbors, working beside you, guiding you for this next step in evolution. I began doing healings for folks. Women came to me with serious emotional and physical issues. I started to see a number of women. We only communicated through email. I did sessions for them, and I was able to see the abductions, the implantation, and pregnancies. They had no memory of it. Arcturus came, and he explained everything to me. I would get small and go inside the body and come back with great detail. Tom the cat and Michael always came with me too. And once I asked to see the children of this one woman, a boy and a girl, I could see that some of the children's bodies were not strong and they did not mature to adulthood. I was taken to a colony where, for lack of a better term, forgive me, half-breeds were forced to live because they were not welcomed by their own people. I saw they live happy lives in this place. I started to understand the tragedy. I told these women straight up that I could see they were from the group doing the abductions, and they had agreed to the whole thing to help heal the planet. Since then, men have come too, and I have heard the elaborate tales, and I know of the despair held in these souls. I have talked to one involved from the other side. Arcturus took me back to the moment of many, many surgeries and experiments, and he gave me lengthy explanations, and it was beyond description. I can remember every detail. I have worked in our country's largest teaching hospitals alongside famous doctors. I saw a lot in those years, was on the front line. I have seen a lot of suffering. When I wrote Stargate Earth, I was given a photo to use in the book from KOS. I got a panicked email from a reverse engineer saying he had reported me to NSA for disclosing this information. He thought it was going to come back on him. He said he had run the photo through some kind of spectral analysis. No idea what he said, some special tests. And he said, I figured out it's not one of mine. I wrote back indignantly, I know it's not one of yours because it's one of mine. Then I told him I was working under the orders of KOS in this case and assured him I had been asked to comment on it. He understood that. They used me to put out info because I can handle the repercussions. One day I sat down to read the Mahabharata. Naturally, I was guided to a passage. I read about the god Agni, who was facing the dark hats in a battle in the forest. It actually said that Agni held up his hands out of which burned a fire, and the fire melted all the bad guys and burned so hot it melted the forest down. I had an aha moment, and I said, that was Ashtar. And they said, yes, Ashtar's avatar form is the god Agni. This is cross-referenced in Blavatsky's work. As Agni in the hierarchy of the family names, in the line of Raghu's race, same as Lord Rama, son of Dasaratha, he is of the holy Kumaras, who are the firstborn sons of Brahma. Sananda, Sanat, also known as the Ancient of Days or Ahura Mazda, Sanatana, also known as Lord Michael, Sanaka, also known as Saint Germain. As the family names unfold, these ones become avatar forms down the lineage, and we see how the goodly company incarnated again and again through the ages to help humanity. That is what I'm doing here now. Time is speeded up, and I didn't need a whole lifetime to get the work done. Ashtar and the Mahabharata. One day in 2006, Ashtar stood at the foot of my bed and said he would like to train me. Lord Arcturus was with him. They asked if I would like to train with them. And that story got back to the one who I call Rama Arjuna. And that is how I began my mentoring with him. Ashtar was using a weapon called the Violet Flame. You have heard about this from the I Am Discourses and Saint Germain's work. The Violet Flame, when used through the hand chakras, is a kind of martial arts weapon for the dragons. They cannot sustain that energy. It works kind of like a beam weapon, and they have misfirings in the QRS wave, and they look like they're having a heart attack. It's the dragons that come here. There are many other ways they've tried to disturb me, but the Pushats are unseen and always there to help me. Ashtar taught me what to do with my energy centers to use the Violet Flame this way. With that, I push the envelope with the information, and I put myself in the position to help whenever I can. When we look at the ancient texts with new eyes, we see all of it is about the Ashtar command, the ascended masters and the angelic realm. Michael and Metatron are in the Judeo-Christian writings, and we know them in the Vedanta as Indra and Narada. When we compare and contrast the lives of these ones and realize it is the angels having human lives, everything makes sense. See, back in Akhenaten Moses' time, Serapis Bey had incarnated as Amenhotep III, father of Akhenaten, to undo the dark hats from the Amun priesthood. They are the same dragons then as they are now, adept intergalactic travelers. Sunanda incarnated then as King Tut, grandfather, father, and son, assisted by Serapis Bey, the keeper of the light codes of the earth grid under the Sphinx. Something went very wrong then. Egos got in the way, and the plan for Earth Ascension failed. Sunanda came back as Jesus. And Caesar of Rome and his dragon friends still control us today since that time, under maritime law, the law of the land. Those plans failed, and the Ashtar Command had doubts Earth would recover. Here we are now. This time the plan worked, and we are in the final days, walking out the history for the ages. A big part of that will happen at the press club. The servant is Sunanda, King of Swords, Admiral of the New Jerusalem. His servants are the White Knights. I support the White Knights in their very difficult role. It is my job to go nose to nose with those in the highest positions to be certain they are carrying out their role with integrity, and at the same time, fall under their orders and help them in any way they ask. I am doing that right now, sending on a note. Right now, there is a whole other world you are not aware of in your wildest dreams. You think you know a thing or two about so-called conspiracies, but truly, you know nothing. The United States government, in cooperation with other governments, have fleets of extraterrestrial technologies far advanced of what you have ever seen. They explore deep space, other planets and stars, and make profits for their backers. I will be discussing these things in depth on my radio program. There are many realities within our multidimensional universe. Earth exists in many dimensions simultaneously, as do you. There is the illusion of the United States Congress filibustering a law they created. There is the illusion of the bankers paying themselves million-dollar per year salaries while they watch their fellow citizens' children starving in the streets. There is the illusion of ancient lands kept alive in the aboriginal parts of Earth now. Just like the tidal pool, the forest, the jungle, the desert, and all tiny forms of life on planet Earth, there are millions of worlds you live with on this planet that you know nothing about. The 13 families who in the past controlled the wealth of the world have had incarnate into their families for the last 1,000 generations dragons. The paintings you see of dragons doing battle are not some mythical creature. They are here today. They are the avatar form of humans alive today. These humans time travel, not with a machine. They are adepts, and they time travel within their Merkaba bodies. This is how they control the collective, and they keep everyone in slavery. They are waking up now and struggling with the idea of love and forgiveness. We have an obligation to help them by being love and being forgiveness. The vast majority of dragons living in human bodies on Earth are doing everything in their power, in Congress, in NASA, in the CIA, in the banks, and on Wall Street, to make money in operations traveling to far-flung places in space, bringing back payloads that would blow your mind. Saint Germain has spoken to each last one individually and convinced some 105 to give away half of their billions to compensate for all they have stolen from you. See thegivingpledge.org to read the perp sheet. Joining this small club has in some way served as a bargaining chip when the judgments are handed out. Love them more. After a long struggle in the courts, all the way back to the Supreme Court. The Black Farmers case was settled. When this happened, it was determined that in order for the awards of the case to be properly paid, a new law would need to be signed and enacted. This law is called NESARA, the National Economic Security and Reformation Act. This act was signed into law by Bill Clinton in October of 2000. The law will be enacted when it is publicly announced. It cannot be enacted until we have disclosure. It cannot be, and it will not be. This is a spiritual matter. We have one chance to act as Earth citizens and demand the United States, including the bought and sold Supreme Court justices, all members of the Senate and House of Representatives, and the President revealed to us their activities in space with galactic representatives from other planets and other stars. It is much, much larger than you have ever dreamed. On April 29th through May 3rd, at the National Press Club, two blocks from the White House in Washington, D.C., witnesses from civilian, intelligence, and military agencies from the United States and government officials from other countries will testify before a panel made up of retired Congress. The event is being produced by Paradigm Research Group and Stephen Bassett. This will effectively end the truth embargo. However, we the people demand a world peace treaty be signed and President Obama announce disclosure to the world and enact NESARA. Your duty in this is to watch the citizens' hearing on disclosure, live stream, all week, or come to the National Press Club, free of charge, and be an eyewitness to disclosure. There is no charge. Seats are first come. Be there, and the media will no longer be accessories to the crime of withholding the truth. Your presence demands they come clean. Many of them will go the way of the perp walk. Some will write articles and talk about CHD on the radio, on the internet, and on broadcast news. Encourage them to do so. When I was working on promoting the NESARA petition, I received an email from James Cameron seeking me out. He said he would help me attain the last signatures needed to complete the We the People petition for NESARA. He said he would ask some of his friends to help me. I received emails from some of his friends, enthusiastic to help. I sent them one sentence. I needed to have it tweeted. I wanted it dropped into Facebook. I sent an article with a link to be posted on blogs. All who emailed me declined to help. They said it violated the media gag order, and they could not do that. I violate the gag order every day. I receive threats often. They cannot gag me, and they will not gag you. Post it. Tweet it. Facebook it. Mark Zuckerberg stole your personal information and traded it to Goldman Sachs for billions in profit. I suggest you use social media to support the White Knights. Very difficult mission. Do you have the brass kahunas to see this through? Will you renounce your slavery in this illusionary world and reclaim your sovereign status as a spiritual galactic citizen? Will you tell your family and friends? Will you write the media and ask they report on it? Will you be present at the National Press Club on April 29th through May 3rd, in person or on live stream, to witness the disclosure? The brightest stars in UFO research, an Apollo astronaut, and the bravest men and women I have ever known will be there. These are the witnesses: Dr. Robert Wood, Dr. Thomas Vallone, Jeffrey Torres for Dr. Milton Torres, Daniel Sheehan, Donald Dar Schmidt, Colonel Oscar Santa Maria from Peru, Colonel Ariel Sanchez from Uruguay, Kevin Randall, Nick Pope, Jim Penniston, Dr. Edgar Mitchell, retired from NASA, Apollo 14 astronaut, Mark McClandish, Dr. Jesse Marcel Jr., Antonio Hunes, Linda Moulton Howe, Gary Heseltine, Paul Hellyer, Jay Gavarid from Brazil, Stanton Friedman, Catherine Austin Fitz, Lieutenant Colonel Richard French, Richard Dolan, Peter Davenport, Dr. Anthony Choi from Peru, Grant Cameron, John Callahan, Captain Rodrigo Bravo from Chile, and Stephen Bassett. I'm going to do my part. I've reopened Galactic Roundtable. This is an international social media website where friends gather to break the gag order as a collective to change things. I'm asking you to please join and send invites to your email list for your friends to join. Galactic Roundtable, when it was open before, had over 5,000 members in over 180 countries. And when we come together, there is nothing we can't accomplish. On March 11th, I will be joined by a friend, and we will hit the airwaves of internet radio. The program is called Galactic Roundtable, Countdown to Disclosure. Please join me there every day, and we will discuss the secret space program and why full galactic disclosure is the issue that resolves all other issues, such as violence on women, mass starvation, and world war. We must have disclosure, or we will never have world peace. We will also touch on the spiritual aspects of creating the new, with love and only love. Thank you, everybody, for joining me here. I'm so glad to be back. So if you have any questions and you would like to call in, please call area code 530-413-9537. Another number is 530-763-1574. So now what I would like to do is introduce you to my friend who's here with me on the program. His name is Hatam Buda, and I'm very excited to tell you about his new website that's being developed right now. It's called the Earth Collective. The purpose of the website is to provide online the ability for the collective worldwide to give love, health, and wealth to support certain needs or activities that will be posted on the site. Some default website needs will be to give love to the earth, to eliminate poverty and hunger, to clean the water, and more yet to be identified. Users will be able to give all activities and will collect points that they can then use to create their own public or private activities. Private activities can be asking for love, healing to another family member, wealth, insight, happiness, etc. Once the collective is up and running, users can then collectively alter the direction of a storm or even weaken it, offer healing and love to an earthquake or natural disaster stricken area, and so on. So I think that this is a new concept that is fantastic, and I believe that we'll all be working together to in an experiment, like a noetic science experiment, to figure this out when it comes available. Hatam, are you there? Greeting.
Greeting. How are you, Beth?
Very good. Thank you. Would you like to share your vision for your website with us?
Yes. This idea basically came about on how to give love or your thoughts or your intent or your energy to someone else. I mean, usually we do it with our family subconsciously. We pray for our family member to get better. And, you know, we pray for ourselves. And this just takes it, you know, collectively. So now we are all one. So how cool would this be to be able to send people we don't even know love, or like you mentioned, to be able to control a direction of a storm or to weaken it? Or, you know, my kids, when I talk to them about this, they say, wow, we want to help animals that have been abused, you know, because they always tear as soon as they see something like that. Mm-hmm. So this just carries on a way for everyone to come together and collectively focus our intent on something. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
That's great. How is the development going? Do you know when this will become available?
Everything is done. The hardest part was the idea of how do you give love or your intent or to someone somewhere else online, you know, through a website. And then how do we measure that? How do we know that person actually gave love or did anything at all? So that's been the hardest part, but I think we've overcome it.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, so everything is done. There's some animations such as when you're giving love or health or wealth or healing to someone or to an activity. So far, we're going to have it so that you're holding on the mouse and you're clicking and you're just holding it. You're not actually clicking. You're just holding the click. And as long as you're holding it, there's going to be an animation where there's going to be a heart transmitting a wave.
Okay.
And there's going to be an affirmation that you would say to yourself or out loud, you know, I send you love or I send you health or wealth. And as long as someone can do it, I mean, I was able, you know, my probably focus was about 15 seconds and then I had enough. So I figured it's going to be in seconds. But if a lot of people are giving seconds, then you got minutes and hours and who knows.
Wow.
So hopefully around April time frame, we'll have something that, you know, people can try out and we'll be ready for suggestions and comments.
So everybody get your intentions ready. This is going to be a bold new adventure when we're creating new earth together with this website. And I'm sure many of you have projects out there like this that you're working on now for new earth. So please call and tell us about them. And thank you, Haytham. Welcome to the program. I hope you'll stay around for some time.
Thank you, Beth.
I wanted to let everyone know the format of this new program. Each day I would like to talk about the countdown to disclosure for a bit. And after that, we will explore sacred galactic scripture. And I'd like to go into the ancient texts a little bit each day so that we can have that shot in the arm from the divine words that were left behind by our galactic ancestors to give us new insight into our spiritual connections. And after that, each day I would like to close the call with a short guided meditation or an invocation. Because when we join our energies together like this, then it goes out and it changes everything. I want to talk a little bit now about the citizens' hearing for disclosure. Some people have been a little bit mixed up, so I want to clarify this. They ask me about Dr. Stephen Greer and the Disclosure Project. Dr. Greer is coming out in April with his movie, The Serious Movie, and I'm sure all of you have seen that. And for, I'm not sure how long, I would like to say decades, Dr. Greer has been working on something that he calls the Disclosure Project. And in his presentations, he's interviewed many of the witnesses that are prime witnesses for the UFO advocacy and disclosure movement. And so his work is separate from the Citizens Hearing on Disclosure. And so you have more than likely you've heard of Stephen Bassett. Stephen Bassett has been a Washington lobbyist for the extraterrestrial issue since, I think, 1996. And he has formed the X-PAC. He also is the executive director of the Paradigm Research Group. The Paradigm Research Group has produced the X conferences and also is producing the Citizens Hearing on Disclosure. So that's the difference between those two groups. When we have the Citizens Hearing on Disclosure, it's very, very important that the media be aware of it, be reporting on it, and it's important that energetically that we tune in and we become witnesses for these ones who have dedicated their lives to holding these truths so that we could have this moment as witnesses and end the truth embargo that's been going on since July 7th of 1947. I would like to each day talk about these witnesses. And I have a presentation for you today. It's about 10 minutes. And it is attorney Daniel Sheehan speaking about his role in disclosure. And after we hear his presentation, we'll take calls. And then when we finish the hour, we'll have an invocation for disclosure and planetary world peace. Each day I'd like to touch on these witnesses so that we can raise our consciousness on how important their roles are and we can be there for them. Because they dedicated their lives to turning this around for us. So here we go. This is attorney Daniel Sheehan. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Daniel Sheehan. I'm an attorney and serving as general counsel to the Disclosure Project. I'm a 1967 graduate of Harvard College in American Government Studies and Constitutional Law and a graduate of Harvard Law School. And I served as general counsel and one of the co-counsel for the New York Times in the Pentagon Papers case, and was involved in briefing and arguing the case in front of the United States Supreme Court, giving permission to the New York Times to publish the classified documents, the 47 volumes of the Pentagon Papers. Subsequent to that time, I served as special counsel to the office of F. Lee Bailey as one of the trial counsels when we represented James McCord in the Watergate burglary, and got Mr. McCord to write the letter to Judge Sirica to reveal the Watergate burglar's relationship to the plumbers unit in the White House at that time. Subsequent to my service in that case, I went back to Harvard to the Divinity School to study Judeo-Christian social ethics and public policy, did my master's work and PhD work there, and became general counsel for the United States Jesuit headquarters in Washington, D.C., assigned to the National Social Ministries Office and their public policy office. It was there in 1977, that I was contacted by Ms. Marcia Smith, who was the director of the Science and Technology Division of the Congressional Research Service. She asked to meet with me, and I met with her, and she informed me that President Carter, upon taking office in January of 1977, held a meeting with then the Director of Central Intelligence, who was George Bush Sr., and demanded that the Director of Central Intelligence turn over to the President the classified information about unidentified flying objects and the information that was in the possession of the United States intelligence community concerning the existence of extraterrestrial intelligence. This information was refused to the President of the United States by the director of Central Intelligence, George Bush Sr. The director insisted that the president, in order to have access to this information, needed to have clearance to contact the Congressional Research Service, to contact the United States House of Representatives Science and Technology Division, to have them undertake a process to declassify this information, because the DCI suspected that the president was preparing to reveal this information to the American public. The Congressional Research Service Science and Technology Division, under the directorship of Marsha Smith, was contacted by the House Science and Technology Committee and instructed to undertake a major investigation of the existence of extraterrestrial intelligence and the relationship of the UFO phenomenon to this. I was contacted by Ms. Smith and asked, in my capacity as general counsel to United States Jesuit Headquarters, National Social Ministry Office, to see if we could obtain access to the Vatican Library to obtain the information that the Vatican had with regard to extraterrestrial intelligence and the phenomenon of the UFOs. I pursued that with the permission of Father William J. Davis, the director of the National Office, and we were refused access, as the United States Jesuit order, to the information in the possession of the Vatican Library. When I reported this to Ms. Smith, she then later subsequently asked me to participate in a project, which I can go into some detail during the question and answer period or later to individuals, pursuant to which I was given access to, as a special consultant to the United States Library of Congress Congressional Research Service, to the classified portions of the Blue Book project of the Air Force. At that point, it was in 1977, approximately May of 1977, I went to the Madison building of the United States Library of Congress. There was no one in the building at that time. It was brand new. I was directed to a basement office where there were two guards at the door and a third sitting at the table who took my identification, verified that I've been designated as a special consultant to the Congressional Research Service of the United States Library of Congress, and was admitted to the room. I thereupon found photographs, some dozen photographs, of what is unquestionably an unidentified flying object on the ground that had crashed and plowed a furrow in a field of snow, and it was embedded in a bank, an embankment. There were United States Air Force personnel surrounding this craft, taking photographs of the craft. And one of the photographs, I could see that there were some symbols on the side of the craft. So I proceeded through the photographs and found a close-up photograph of these symbols. I've been instructed that I was to take no notes and had to leave my briefcase and all my identification outside of this room. But I had brought with me a yellow pad. And so what I did is I opened up the yellow pad and refocused the overhead camera onto the same size as the cardboard backing of the yellow pad. And I physically traced the copies of the symbols on the side of this craft, closed the yellow pad back, put the microfiche back into the canister, reclosed the box that I had, and I said, it is time for me to leave. And I took this and proceeded to leave the office, at which point the security guard stopped me, and one of them said, what is that you have there, Mr. Sheehan? At which point I handed the yellow pad to him, and he flipped through all the yellow pages and never found the copy that I had. And so I took that with me and brought it to the United States Jesuit headquarters, had a meeting with the staff with Father William J. Davis, reported this to them, was authorized at that time by the United States Jesuit headquarters to make a report to the National Council of Churches and to request that the entire 54 major religious denominations of our country undertake a major study of extraterrestrial intelligence, which they declined to do. I was subsequently asked to deliver a three-hour closed-door seminar to the top 50 scientists of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory of SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, which I did do in 1977. I'm more than happy to testify under oath to these details to the United States Congress, and would be happy to meet with any members of the press at that time. You may recall I also served as chief counsel to the Karen Silkwood case, in which we obtained the rulings in the Karen Silkwood case. I also served as chief counsel in the Iran-Contra case. I was the first one to testify before the United States Congress to the existence of the off-the-shelf enterprise of Richard Secord and Albert Hakim. I'll be more than happy to share the details of what I believe to be the relationship between this off-the-shelf enterprise and the secret government, which is concealing this information from the American public. And I am happy and proud to serve as general counsel to the Disclosure Project. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to that. That 8 minutes and 30 seconds of video just spilled the beans on so many aspects of the truth embargo. Daniel Sheehan holds many of the keys to what happened behind the scenes in modern times since the 70s. And it was no mistake that I launched this with him. I want to say that I'm very honored to be here. I would like to consider this radio program to be the pre-parade to disclosure. We're right on the verge of it. And we make it so by coming together and being the witness for all that has gone before. And each day I would like to spend about 10 minutes listening to something from one of the witnesses with you. I, over the weekend, listened to I don't know how many hours of tape, and I've pulled the best 10 minutes from each witness, knowing their work and knowing what their greatest, what they're best known for. I looked into their tapes and pulled 10 minutes from each one. And so we're going to do that for a little bit each day. I'd like to join with you here tomorrow, and I hope you'll tune in. And please call in with your questions and comments about disclosure. For more information on all of this, I'd like you to visit my website. It's at www.galacticroundtable.org. And please join and become a member if you haven't already, and we'll carry on this conversation there. I've loaded all the videotapes that I'll be using on the radio at that website, so you can look at them in their fullness and review them again. And we're getting close to the end of this broadcast. So what I'd like to do with you is an invocation for disclosure. So if we could all join together in our hearts now, we'll close this out with a prayer for world peace. Thank you so much for joining me here today. Here we go.
Greetings, everybody. This is Elizabeth Trutwin. I invite you to this planetary invocation. We invite you, we invoke you, we open to this activation, which received that will instantly awaken fully the 12-strand DNA and reconnect the genetic codings to uplift the veil of duality and activate the full recalling and remembering of ancient sacred knowledge in the fields of astrogenetics, genetic design and sequencing, bioengineering, geomancy, new archaeology and astronomy, new energy transformation, and technological scientific information. The pulse transmitter will, in presence and silence, be able to be transferred to those who are ready to receive. A conduit of the third heaven gateway information, so that those that are magnetized to receive will be able to create and develop this new technology. Ways to assist the rescuing of this planet and ensure simultaneously that this is done with love, ease and grace, balance and harmony. Please replay this invocation daily. As more become prepared, it activates them in that time, in that space. Namaste. Supreme Creator, sages, seers, highest divine beings, and all the divine animals. Sangha Chadvam, Samvadadvam, Samvomanasi Jantam, Samano Prana, Samano Mantra, Samati, Samano Mana, Samano Mantravi, Samano Akuti, Samano Hiryani Va, Sa Hiryam Sa, Chittame Sam. Together, singing, pronouncing, and invoking this perennial mantra, with all the creatures listening in silence, that perennial unity of soul prevailing in all the creatures. The pronouncement of self, the declaration of oneness, bringing all the unity of all diversity of all creation. My mind, my heart, my senses, my psyche, my chitta, they'll work in harmony. They may tune to divine wholeness. Let my loved one work with me in harmony. Walk with me. Communicate with me. Speak with me. Let my friends feel my love. Feel my energy. Let my community see my harmony and oneness and unity. And let my community and society see and walk in harmony, in peace. Let my country awake to work together in harmony for the betterment of my country and the world. Let the humanity coordinate, exchange, and share fairly and justly. Let no one be unhappy in this world. Let no one suffer. Let no one be ignorant. Let no one feel small and neglected. Let no one feel that she is not whole. Let there be peace within my heart, in my family, in my community, in my country, and in the world. Let there be light. Let there be harmony. Let there be prosperity all over. All around. Let no one be unhappy. Let all walk towards the wholeness. Let all have strength to walk on that path. Path of enlightenment and path of liberation and path of salvation and path of nirvana. Let no one feel deprived of that divine right. Not only your birthright, but right eternal, right perennial. When my soul filled with Amrita, the nectar of bliss, when I am fulfilled, I can radiate the fulfillment to others. When I am at peace, I can share my peace to others. When I am happy, I can share my happiness to others. When I am enlightened, I can share my enlightenment to others. When I am joyful and blissful, I can share my joy and bliss to others. Let my heart be filled with divine nectar, divine energy. Let it be purity. Let there be light. Oh, you, all the gods of the universe, those who have achieved that state of consciousness, I invite you. I pray to you, I beg you, I call you to come and be with me today. Help me, walk with me, take me there where you are. I invoke that power, that energy. Oh, Dev, oh, Supreme Devi, come to me. Take me to your realm. Let me walk with you. Let me hold your hand. Deva Mahadev, Shiva and Shakti, Kali and Durga, Aldi Shakti, Mahamaya, Sahirjamba, Samana Mantra, Samana Prana, Samana Atma, Samana Paramatmana, Samana Savidya, Samana Mantra, Samana Mona, Samana Orgasm, Samana Janam, Samana Vanam,
Thank you, everybody. Namaste. Join me here tomorrow.